Okay, Robert Whittle and J. Robert Whittle and Joyce Sandilands today we're talking with, and we're reviewing their novel, Whispers Across Time, and it's an extremely exciting novel, and had a lot of pleasure reading it. Good.
Pleased to hear that.
Good. It's historical fiction and extremely well done, too, and I imagine that it's a little bit more difficult to write a historical novel than just an ordinary novel, too.
Well, I do write historical novels,
mm-hmm.
and at the time, having finished the Victoria Chronicles, where there was a tremendous amount of research went into it,
mm-hmm.
and of course, when you're researching local things, you always get a great overspill of material.
Mm-hmm.
And just for fun and for some light writing,
mm-hmm.
I decided to write a ghost story for myself.
Okay,
and
wonderful.
That's how Whispers came about.
Okay, great, good.
And I decided that it was just such a novelty and a pleasant change from the other books that it would be worth trying to see how it went over with our fans and other people who had not taken up with reading our books, maybe perhaps because they were series,
mm-hmm.
and some people don't like to get involved in series.
Okay, is this your first novel that isn't in a series?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's
okay.
The first single
mm-hmm.
novel, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you won a 2007 Gold Medal Independent Publisher IPPY Award for writing and producing Loyalty's Haven.
Yes, that was the third one in the Victoria Chronicles.
Okay. Good, good. And there's a lot happening in this novel, Whispers Across Time. We have a lot of mystery. It's a ghost story. It's also a wonderful love story, too, and lots of history, too. So there's just a lot to captivate an audience out there, and it's a really hard book to put down.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm a little bit old-fashioned,
mm-hmm.
I write my love stories a little bit gentler than most people and leave a little bit more to the imagination.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And that's his style for writing his books in general, and that's perhaps one reason why his books have been so popular, because they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
And people call them refreshingly different.
They are refreshingly different. A lot of enjoyment went into reading the book. Okay, and lots of different characters, too, and it's very interesting. You have a couple of pages where the main characters are listed and just exactly who they are, too, if somebody gets lost in the book.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I challenge my readers when they're talking to me
mm-hmm.
to pick out which ones of those characters are actually real and which are not.
Okay.
And you would be surprised at the answers I get.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have an old family who actually came here when the fort was being built,
mm-hmm.
which I wrote into the Victoria Chronicles.
Okay.
And invented a character.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a character, I come from a village in England, you know, on the moors.
Okay.
And we always had one of these characters in every village, so I just assumed that Victoria would have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote him in, and this old gentleman, who has become a very, very firm friend of mine, today will not believe I found that man in history, and it is an actual person, because, he says, he knew him.
Okay.
They had one in their neighborhood.
Totally fictitious.
Okay.
Totally fictitious.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, really interesting. Now, the book was published in August 2007, and the publisher is?
Whitlands Publishing.
Okay, good.
And that's us.
Good. Okay. Oh, you have your own private publishing company.
We're self-published, yes.
Okay.
We've done all this ourselves, financed mm-hmm. it all ourselves from the sales of books. And Robert is our main seller
mm-hmm.
most of the year because mm-hmm. he sells them at outdoor markets.
Okay. And you even had a little plug-in, one part of the book with it, which was very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. That
yes.
was a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. Actually, I didn't do that. That wasn't my work. That was the lady on the other half. Of
right,
her eye.
Yes, yes. The
good.
Bastion Square scene.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun and a lot of surprises, too. How long did it take you to write the book?
About a year.
About a year, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you have to remember that he's at the market for a good part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually a very quick writer.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 months of the year are out of commission for writing.
Okay.
Because he's at the market and too tired to write.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. During that time, though, I do a few school lectures or lectures for people,
mm-hmm.
talks and things,
mm-hmm.
generally on local history. I generally seem to be able to dig up the little bits of history that the big guys forget. They forget that the little guy wants to know about the little guy.
Exactly, yeah. That's you know,
and
interesting.
I firmly believe, and have all my life, that history is made by the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
The big guy just puts his name at the bottom of the book, like having written it, like me.
Mm-hmm.
But the history is all about the little guys.
That's so true. That's so true. Would one of us, one of you, like to give us a little bit of a short summary of what the book's about for our audience?
Whispers?
Mm-hmm.
You mean? Do you want to do
you
that
go ahead.
Twice?
No, you go ahead, Robert.
Well, I took a court reporter who was bought to death with his job, being a court reporter, and actually I had several friends who were court reporters.
Okay.
And so I know how bored they can get listening to legal drivel half the day. And put him into context with the people I knew who were reporters, which are mostly drunkards, heavy drinkers, and imbibe a little bit too much most of the time. And then set the scene in an old cemetery here in Victoria where he stumbles into a ghost who turns him into a mortal angel.
Okay.
And the concept of a mortal angel is new, as far as I know. And then it gave me the opportunity to let him bounce around history without having a lot of reasons to do it. I could transport him to different scenes. I also threw into the mix because Everett, just across the border, has never been included in my novels of Victoria. But this time, when I rang there for some information, they insisted that I included Everett.
Okay, okay. Well, that's interesting because, yeah, Everett is in there, Victoria, and also Seattle.
Yes,
yes.
And so we actually went to Everett, and a girl from the local newspaper became our guide for the day and showed us all the interesting parts. The archives told me everything I wanted to know and gave me all the facilities they had. And I got books on Everett to bring home with me. So I did quite a number on Everett.
Okay, wonderful. Okay.
Well, you didn't get a very short summary there.
No, you did.
No, you didn't.
But anyway, the story really revolves around two young people from different time periods falling in love and wondering how they're going to solve the problem of the different time periods.
Right, okay. And I think you did a great job with that, too. An amazing job. Yeah.
It was a little complicated, but it was so much fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Robert's stories, you know, he always puts a little bit of himself in them, and also people that he's met, and they could be people back from his early days, you know, in England. But he manages to make some interesting characters through some of the people that he's met.
Yeah.
I've got quite a protective nature, you know. I'm the oldest son of 10 children, with 4 younger sisters. And had to spread a protective arm across them as they were growing up, you might say.
Okay.
My father gave me the responsibility of looking after them. That's what he said. It's your responsibility.
Okay.
And he's also very good at understanding about women. And he had one woman from the States at one point, after reading our Lizzie series, said that he should be the president of the Women's Lib Association of America.
Yes, she did. Yes. If I was a woman, she'd nominate me.
Okay. Do you think that there's a bit of the character of Oliver Ryan in you?
I think so.
Okay. Good. It's interesting.
He's a little bit quiet and a little bit adventurous with a lot of mischief in his nature.
Exactly. But, you know, a real gentleman, very chivalrous,
well,
and does a lot of good deeds.
Like I told you earlier.
Yeah, it's Robert.
I was brought up in the old school of things where you open doors for ladies.
Yeah,
you know,
that's nice.
He's very old-fashioned, and I love it.
Good, good.
And Mary Janik has got a lot of my qualities in her as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So it makes it easier to write them. You know, you don't plan on putting those qualities in people. It just kind of happens.
And I try to write my books, the historical stuff in them, so people can go and find these things. Because in Whispers Across Time, I wrote so accurately about Everett and Seattle,
mm-hmm.
you can actually go find those places and then wonder if it really happened. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
That's a lot of fun, too. And the book was also set around the event of Christmas, too, and New Year's. So that's interesting, too.
Yeah. And it gives you some interesting looks of how somebody from the past
mm-hmm.
would look at a TV or a computer.
Exactly.
How would they know what it was?
Yeah, you did a fantastic job with that. And the two personalities really mesh together, too, even though they're from different times.
And, you know, the girl in the book,
mm-hmm.
the newspaper reporter,
mm-hmm. Kate,
Kate is actually the newspaper reporter who showed us around Everett.
I was wondering that when you said that. Yeah.
She is a real person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And we asked her if she could, if she wanted to stay in it by name.
Mm-hmm.
And she said yes.
Nice. Okay.
She said yes.
That's nice.
She's actually now the mayor's assistant.
Okay. Okay, good. And how did you come up with the name Whispers Across Time?
Oh, we just work on that together,
mm-hmm.
Robert.
I usually figure those out. By
thinks of them,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I turn them around.
Vehicle, you know, somewhere in a strange place, and all of a sudden it comes to me.
Okay, good.
We come up with all our titles, and it just, you mm-hmm. know, you just start thinking about it.
And is the cemetery that's on the cover, is that a real place?
Yes.
Okay. That's Ross Bay Cemetery.
Yeah.
It's one of the oldest cemeteries in Victoria.
Is your grandma buried there, George?
Yes, my great-grandmother
mm-hmm.
is buried there.
Okay, so it has
a lot of famous people are buried in Ross Bay Cemetery, and they have tours, so
mm-hmm.
you can actually go and find out a lot about the history through that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if people come and visit Victoria, there's a lot of history here, which they soon discover.
Exactly, and it's a really nice Canadian novel, too, and a chance to learn a little bit of history in a fun way, too, Canadian history. And the way you wrote about the women whose husbands were coming back from the war, that's really quite heartwarming and, you know, very personal. You put it very nicely.
Yeah,
well, I had some personal experience of that.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah. My mother was one of those women.
Okay. Well, you really came across with that very well. And in the end, on the last page, exactly where is home? So I guess we're left to wonder which home they're going back to, one in the past or the one in the 2000?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know,
at least they have the choice.
Yeah, they do.
They fans mm-hmm. who tell me I
mm-hmm.
don't write books with a positive ending. I
mm-hmm.
always leave room for another book.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Great. Are we expecting
and
a...
And Whispers Across Time hadn't been out
mm-hmm.
more than 48 hours
mm-hmm.
before a truck driver who had got one of the very first off the printer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I am just waiting for the second one now.
Okay, well, so am I now that I know that there might be a chance of that.
No.
There's not going to be.
We said right from the beginning there wouldn't be a sequel. And we're working on the next book now, which
mm-hmm.
is another historical set, set internationally, actually.
Okay.
So it should have even a broader interest because it features England, Spain, and Vancouver Island here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by now you must have figured out I love history.
Okay, well, yes, exactly, and you do such a fantastic job at it, the both of you together, just a great team.
Well, one of the school teachers here in Victoria told me, point blank,
mm-hmm.
I could not stop writing ever now because I had solved teaching history for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It stays in people's minds a lot more if it's presented in a novel in a fun fashion, too, without just dry facts.
That's true.
Factual history worked into a novel is a fun way to present it.
Teachers tend to call them painless history,
mm-hmm.
his novels, and
mm-hmm.
three of his books are bestsellers.
Okay.
So we have done very well with our books, surprisingly, despite being self-published.
Exactly, and this is your 10th title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right. I have two children's books as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not bad for an old mining engineer.
And you discovered writing in 1994, Robert?
Yeah, in a hospital bed.
Okay. So
he
that's
needed
not,
something to do.
Yeah, that's not very long ago either.
No.
It seems a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out he was just such a natural that
mm-hmm.
he became a prolific writer. And when he was in hospital, he actually ended up being in and out of hospital for almost 4 years.
With
a bad infection. And so he wrote three books in that time. So it got him well started.
Exactly. So something really positive came out of that anyway.
It certainly
well, you know,
did.
Maureen, as a young man,
mm-hmm.
I played professional cricket, which is you know, a team sport.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was a mining engineer, son of a farmer who demanded that every time I had some spare time, I worked at home, of course. Without pay, by the way. But always active, that's what I'm trying to illustrate.
Yeah, and that's so important, too. It's, you know,
and
great.
And when they operated on my knee and took my mobility away, they didn't stop my brain whizzing around. And so it just seemed like this was a natural progression to keep myself active.
Okay, great attitude, great example for everybody else, too. Yeah.
Yes, he has a very, very strong work ethic.
Good. And your book is 1995 Canadian?
That's correct.
Okay, and if someone is unable to get to the markets out in British Columbia, can they purchase it on the Internet or other
places? They can purchase it from our website at www.bestsellingbooks.ca.
Okay, good. So that's we can learn about some of your other books, too, and you said you had children's books also, so that's wonderful.
Yes, we have some chapter books.
Okay,
good. And audio books as well.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Well,
We've been busy.
there was a time when I started relating in coffee shops. You know, me in a coffee shop with a pot on my leg from my ankle to my backside and not going anywhere very far. In fact, some of the local cops used to bring me home from the coffee shop because it was so difficult to get home.
Okay.
But anyway, I'd relate some of my grandfather's stories. You know, I had an old-fashioned type grandfather who was forever drunk. A village character, and relate some of the stories in the coffee shops to them, and have the whole coffee shop in stitches of laughter, because everything he did seems to be hilarious now. And so we did a CD on those, by popular demand.
Okay, nice. Okay, so you have certainly a lot to offer the public then. Good, that's great. Anything else you wanted to mention, either Robert or Joyce, about Whispers Across Time or your website or any of the other books?
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. People who vaguely know Victoria or are even thinking of coming should read the Victoria Chronicles. Because you will come to Victoria feeling you know the place before you get here.
Okay.
Everything that's from the streets to the businesses that were here in those days are mentioned in the book. Every place that the main characters go, and you can actually find most of them still here in Victoria because we have preserved our old building so well.
That's nice. Okay.
So people use it as virtually as a tourist guide, and Robert actually has done a map or a walk which he uses to give to people when they come and visit him. And it brings the history in as well as the story. And we've been really amazed how many tourists like to buy a book about the place they have visited. And often we get emails back saying, gee, I wished I'd read these before I came. But we're easily available on the Internet or even by phone.
Okay.
Would you like me to give my phone our phone number?
Okay.
It's 250-477-0192.
Okay, so no excuse for anybody to not get a copy of Whispers Across Time, and certainly
That's
a great book to reread, too.
Yeah, okay.
And we have an English series as well, set in London, England in the early 1800s. That's what started it all.
Okay.
And it's a four-book series. But all our books are read by every age imaginable.
I can imagine.
Because of the lack of sex or graphic violence in our books, we just have younger readers as well as older readers, and everyone in between.
That's great. That's great. Whispers Across Time by J. Robert Whittle and his wife, Joyce Sandilands. That's great. Well, thank you very much for the interview. And do we
have
a little bit of information on the next book coming up?
It's been our pleasure. you want some information on the next book?
Yeah, do you have another one?
We have just titled it Race for a Treasure. And it will be out later this summer.
Okay. Well, we look forward to
that. And it's about a missing Spanish galleon.
Okay. Wow. We look forward to that. Well, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you, Maureen.
All the best.
Pleasure.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.